Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
It was all about LeBron James last night. He goes out, needs 13 points to pass Michael Jordan and move to fourth on the all-time scoring list for NBA players. And he does it midway through the second quarter, gets his 13 points. Ended up with, 31 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, something like that. I mean, LeBron just puts up those numbers in his sleep. It's amazing that in a year that has no doubt been a down year for him and certainly for his team, that's an understatement, he's still putting up numbers that rival his career, that actually are right there with his career numbers.
But the numbers this year just feel empty. I mean,
because you're not winning.
Right.
And I get it.
And it just tells you how big that winning.
Yeah, when you don't win, they are somewhat empty. But he's still able to go out in his 16th year, give you 27, 8, and 8. So that's a big accomplishment. But here's what I want to say, Rob, and I think this is an angle that a lot of people have missed. When you look at the top five scorers of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Karl Malone, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and Michael Jordan, in that order, only two of them were hyped as prodigies from a very young age, early in their high school careers, and that was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and LeBron James. Now, of course, Kobe came straight out of high school to the NBA, but, you know, and he had some degree of hype, but nothing compared to what LeBron got. Kobe was drafted 13th. LeBron was drafted first, of course. So that was different. Michael Jordan was somewhat of a late bloomer. We all know the legendary story about him not making his varsity team when he was a sophomore. We know Karl Malone went to Louisiana Tech. You know, so he wasn't any blue chip recruit coming out of high school. And so I wanted to just say that for LeBron James, and obviously Kareem did it as well, but for LeBron James to live up to the hype and maybe even succeed, go further than the hype is very impressive. We've seen a lot of guys who at a young age are viewed as the next best biggest thing. Sebastian Telfair was viewed as the next great point guard. Obviously, that didn't work out. Demetrius Walker at 14 was put on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the next big thing in basketball. He never even got to the NBA. O.J. Mayo was the next LeBron. You know, Derek Character. I mean, I can go on and on. And a lot of guys that were the next guy did at least make the NBA, but never panned out. They were role players. You remember a guy, Marcus Liberty, Rob, you know, went to Illinois, was supposed to be the next Magic Johnson and so on and so forth. So I do want to give credit to LeBron James for having that hype as a 15-year-old kid, if not a little bit earlier, and living up to it. If not surpassing it, that's not easy to do, especially in this day and age with social media, with the extensive coverage, the debate shows where he had people killing him every day, picking things apart. Michael Jordan, Magic, they never had to deal with things like that. So while I know there he has his detractors out there, and certainly this is a year that hasn't been great for him, but LeBron James did live up to the hype, and that's odd. That's unusual. So I think last night was just the latest reminder that this is one of the few guys that was hyped as a prodigy from a young age and actually lived up to the hype.
That's all good and well, and it was well stated by you for historical standpoint, Chris, but
you agree. I mean, you're not at least going to give a paragraph of love to him for that.
It's unbelievable.
You're already ready to go. I could just, yeah, that's fine. But no, I heard the big but
it is
on its
a big
way.
But no.
I mean, at least give him that's important. You know, Rob, you and I, you've been in the business longer than me.
I just said that you nailed it on the historical reference on how it fits in. I get that.
If it was Kyrie or Bryce Harper
I don't know how many baseball players
there even are, 1,200, but if it was any of them, you'd have given them love.
No. My only issue with it is, as much as you just put into all of that and the historical standpoint and the love, where was the love last night when the moment happened, Chris Broussard? Where were his teammates? Where were the Laker fans in Los Angeles? He didn't do this in Denver or did this in Brooklyn. He did it at home with the Lakers. And go read Bill Plaschke's column in the L.A. Times.
It was a great column. If
you didn't watch it yourself, that's the part that I can't get over. I can't get over about a guy who's done all that he's done, accomplished all that he's done, kept his nose clean, did all these other things, Chris, and people on this day act like it was just any other day. It was so disappointing as I watched. And supposedly the NBA told him not to stop the game.
They told the Lakers. The hell with the NBA.
What's the fine you're going to give me? Give me a fine. I'm stopping the game. I just don't even understand that. I don't buy that for 1 second. They didn't stop the game.
You don't think the NBA told them?
I'm telling you that the Lakers could have still stopped the game. I don't care what the NBA says.
That's a good point.
That's a big moment.
I'm with you on that.
He's fed so many people in this league over the last 16 years, Chris. Am I right?
No question.
So why in the world are they going to do him like that and cheat him? And where were the fans? I just don't even understand it. I guess these are the people who covered up his mural twice. I mean, this is amazing on the non-love. And I know that people are not happy that they're not going to make the playoffs, Chris. I got it. But there's a time to take a moment and pause and give credit where credit is due. And nobody did it last night for LeBron. Not his teammates, not the opponents, not the fans in L.A. What does that say about LeBron? 16 years in, passing Michael Jordan, all the numbers, all the points, all the assists, 3 championships, all the finals appearance. It says something about him when people won't even stop to give you the honor. He had to go hug Caruso. Nobody even came over. You saw the video. Chris.
That's what the thing when I was watching it.
Am I wrong? No, I'm asking you.
Well, I think you make a good point. I'm going to address it. Firstly, watching it, I was surprised that none of his teammates, like I was expecting them to surround him and hug him and, you know, all of
high
that.
Fives all now, around something.
Right. I mean, he caught up with Rondo. And I mean, he and Rondo, you know, we've seen them out. Was it at the Duke game or a football game? Like, they've hung out together, so they must have a decent relationship. But the hug was a little lukewarm,
It was lukewarm.
It was like the hug you gave your aunt. You did it, my man, you know. And then, like you said, he found his way to Caruso, and he hugged Caruso, right?
Then after he hugged him, he said, "What's your name? Who are you?" I mean, it was like hugging a dude in high school you really don't know.
I was surprised. Now, I will say this. It is possible. I think this is a realistic possibility that the other players didn't know.
I don't buy that for one second, Chris.
No, they knew.
I don't buy that.
You think they're keeping track of LeBron James' points in their
head? It was everywhere, all over ESPN.
I know they knew that he was going to break the record that night, but they might not have known at that point. That's when he hit his 13th point. That's all I'm saying.
So even when
LeBron
they made the announcement,
obviously was keeping it in his head.
Even when they made the announcement, it still was lukewarm, the whole thing. Even the crowd's reaction when they made the announcement.
Well, let me answer you on that part.
I get it.
I get it. I wish they had given him more love. But look, let's face it. LeBron James is not yet a Laker. In that, you know, in the sense that I mean. He's not viewed as a Laker. If he had done that in Cleveland, it would have been major love. If he had done that in Miami, it would have been major love. He's not viewed as a Laker yet.
He doesn't need to be viewed as a Laker. He's an all-time great player in this league.
He didn't break the record yet. He passed Michael Jordan.
I know
that's
he
the
didn't.
Thing.
But
passed,
it was big.
He only got to number four.
It was a big enough deal. For him. It was a big enough deal on all, everything. It was covered. It wasn't like it wasn't covered. Wait a minute.
Didn't officially break a record. To him, it was a huge deal. The media is always looking for an angle. You know that. But at the end of the day, he didn't break
To pass one of the greatest players of all
record.
Time, and it's not a big deal.
Are we going to do that every time he passes somebody? He's going to pass a few more.
We
didn't do anything when he got the assist mark.
We got
broke into the top 10.
This is passing Michael Jordan. We do have the audio of the crowd last night at the Staples Center. That's so nice.
I think that's you, Rob, and Deb.
That was so good.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Look, his first year, when he came here, it wasn't really a full-fledged rivalry because he and Kobe obviously never met in the finals. There's a little bit of gap in their ages. But in terms of who was that best player of that era on the perimeter, there was a real rivalry between LeBron and Kobe, and still is in the fans' eyes. And so when LeBron comes to the Lakers, Kobe fans are irate. We saw that with the defacing of the murals. Then LeBron gets here, and the season has been a disaster.
But when Kobe,
in large part because of things he's done. And that, I'm telling you, to me, it does make sense, as unfortunate as it is, because if this season were going great, if they were the fourth seed, then I think the fans would have been all up into it.
Hey, Chris.
And so would his teammates. But the way it's gone, they don't view him yet as a full-fledged Laker like Kobe, Magic, Kareem, Shaq, any of those guys.
I think you're giving him a benefit of the doubt that he doesn't deserve from this standpoint. That when Kobe broke the record to pass Michael Jordan, he was in Minnesota. And go, Chris, look at the YouTube of the crowd reaction to a visiting player when he did it. It was unbelievable in Minnesota. So don't tell me that because he ain't a Laker that they didn't do that. They're supposed to respect the game.
The Lakers fans are salty. They're salty. They were polite. They gave him a polite applause because they're upset. That's it. That's what it is.
It's got to be. You got to be bigger
Minnesota
than that in the moment.
Minnesota fans weren't
upset. You got to be bigger than that in the moment. You do.
You wouldn't be, Rob. You'd feel. You'd do the same thing.
I'm not a fan. I'm a reporter, and I've told you.
Whatever.
That.
You do the same thing.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We started off the show talking about LeBron James' historic achievement last night. He surpassed Michael Jordan, in many people's eyes, the greatest player of all time, to become the fourth leading scorer in NBA history. Great achievement for LeBron. Was not received and celebrated the way both Rob and I think it should have been by fans at the Staples Center. Obviously, these fans have not truly embraced LeBron as a full-time, pure Laker, and it showed last night. But one thing that this achievement by LeBron has sparked, Rob, is a discussion of the GOAT. And we have this, you know, this talk is always out there. Who is better, LeBron James or Michael Jordan? Who is the greatest player of all time? And obviously, there are some people that think it's somebody else. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe Bryant, Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain. There are many names you could throw into it. But the two most, I would say, most prominent today are Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Would you agree with that, Rob?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And you and I both have LeBron as second greatest player of all time behind Michael Jordan. And I was
right now.
I was on First Things First this morning, and Nick Wright, our colleague, we had him on the show last week. He, of course, thinks LeBron is the greatest player of all time. And so that conversation.
Even now, can he admit, or he can't even admit that anything's going on here or no?
Well, no, I mean, he has admitted that LeBron has not had the greatest year. I believe he's admitted it as a leader. He certainly has questioned LeBron's ability as a GM, to your point. Okay. That he's
right.
He
I call him the worst GM.
Identifying
right.
okay. the great talent to put on a team, but he makes a statistical, like an analytical argument for LeBron, and he actually tweeted something earlier saying that when it's all said and done, it won't even be a debate. Which I agree, it's not a debate. I think Jordan is clearly the better player. And look, LeBron, like I said, I believe he's number two, but I want to throw it out there. For our listeners, Rob, I believe there's a clear-cut case, an airtight case for Michael Jordan as the GOAT ahead of LeBron James. And I want to make it today, and I want to get your response and your reaction, and, of course, get the callers and the listeners' reaction. But and I've talked about some of this on First Things First today, but I don't base the Jordan over LeBron argument solely on the championships. And some people get locked into that. Oh, it's just about the rings, or you just because Jordan has six championships and LeBron has three, you know, that's the only advantage he has. No.
Oh, no.
Now that, right. Championships is a part of it.
Whenever you hear that, that drives me crazy because they act like. Like Michael didn't do anything else.
Right,
I just
right.
don't even get that.
Like he was Robert Horry or something.
Yes,
you know? He who got and when Horry, you I think has seven rings.
And when you give him the 10 straight scoring titles and some of the other stuff, it's like it never happened.
Well, that's a good point. Like one thing I think for the GOAT, and I think this is criteria that anybody would agree on, is that you have to be individually dominant. Not only in impact on the game, but also statistically. Because all these sports, baseball, football, basketball, statistics are important. And if your statistics correlate with winning, then they're really substantial statistics. So you have to be individually dominant from a statistical and impact standpoint. And then also winning, you have to be dominant from a team winning standpoint. That's why Bill Russell, in my view, and most people's, I'd say, is not in the GOAT conversation. He's got 11 rings. He was the linchpin on every single one of those championship teams. But he only averaged 15 points for his career. He shot 44% from the floor. He was not the best individual player in the league. It was clearly Wilt Chamberlain. So while Russell was team-wise, in terms of winning, incredibly dominant, he didn't have the individual statistical dominance, in my view, to be considered the GOAT. And again, let me say this, Rob. We got to tell this to people. You nitpick when you differentiate between the all-time greats. Because they're
no
all
doubt.
Fantastic.
Right.
right?
They're all great players tremendous. In their own right. So
yeah.
you have to go and you got to look and you got to wonder about the era. Who did he play? Who did he beat? You start nitpicking about everything.
Yep. Teammates,
that's what you do.
The whole nine.
Yes.
Yep.
He had a better teammate. He had better coaches. He had better this. He played in that kind of ballpark. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like that.
Right.
That's what you do.
Right. So here's my case for Jordan as the GOAT over LeBron. Number one, Michael Jordan had no weaknesses. There was not one part of his game that you would point to and say was a weakness. Now, some people might say, well, he wasn't a great three-point shooter. In his day, that was not a weakness.
No, because they didn't.
Right? Nobody shot threes that much. And you had a Reggie Miller or Ray Allen here or there.
But it wasn't.
Right. That wasn't a huge part of the game.
No.
And I would contend, and I think most people would understand this, if Michael Jordan played today, he would be a better three-point shooter.
And, Chris, here's the evidence why. You know this. When he came into the league, he was known as a dunker.
Right.
Right?
He developed things.
Yes, he developed being a shooter.
Mid-range jumper.
Yes.
Yep.
That was developed.
And
he was
even
a dunker.
Became a pretty good three-point shooter.
Absolutely.
A decent, you know, serviceable for that time, for sure. I mean, we all remember the finals. I mean, the NBA finals. What, he hit 7 in the first half against Portland? So he, you know, I don't consider that a weakness at all. LeBron does have a glaring weakness, and it's the foul shooting. And that is a weakness in his era. That's not something you can just say, oh, it's not a big part of the game. No, that's a weakness. All right. I also think while LeBron certainly is a better passer, there's no question about it. Jordan was a great passer. I think Jordan was a better finisher at the rim. I think Jordan was a better defender, even though both are really good defenders. Jordan was more of a tenacious defender. And he was the defensive player of the year one time. And a 9-time all-defensive player, all-NBA defense, whereas LeBron was 6-time all-NBA defense. Jordan, even though he was shorter, had a better post game than LeBron. LeBron has not exposed people in the post like he should.
And you can't stop him at the rim.
No,
I mean, come on, Chris. We've been talking about this for years. If LeBron would have ever decided, I'm going to do this, and just right post up.
Yep.
He can't be stopped.
He could not, especially in today's day and age where
you can't touch anybody.
You don't
have a Shaq, right?
A Nakeem Olajuwon, a David Robinson, an Alonzo Mourning, a Patrick Ewing. Jordan was finishing at the rim and having a post game with guys like that in the league. Now, I'm not saying he was posting Patrick Ewing, but when he posted a guard, Ewing is still around there. Ewing's still around the rim and can help. And I also think Jordan fit into a system better. Jordan was not ball dominant.
He wasn't dribble, dribble, dribble. Go look at some of the old YouTubes of Michael Jordan.
He did not over dribble. This is not just a knock on LeBron, but a lot of players of this
nowadays,
era.
Right? That's more common.
But that makes it tougher on your team. Who's the best team in the league? Golden State. They don't have anybody that over dribbles. You know, look at San Antonio when they won their championships. They didn't have anybody that over-dribbled. Team basketball, you don't need a guy dribbling for 15 seconds of the shot clock, 20 seconds. And Michael Jordan, even though he shot a lot, he didn't over-dribble like LeBron has done throughout his career. And that makes it easier to play team basketball, which does lead to more winning on a championship level. So I think just from an eye test basketball game standpoint. And look, LeBron, I guess you'd have to give him a better rebounder. He's averaged 7.5 for his career. Jordan averaged 6, close to 6.5. So LeBron's averaged one more rebound per game than Jordan, but he's 3 inches taller and what, 60 pounds heavier?
I was going to say, right, LeBron should have more.
Right. So I mean, LeBron's the size of Karl Malone. I could argue that Jordan is a better rebounder for his size, but if you want to give that to LeBron,
or
fine.
Or if you did it pound for pound, you know
right.
what I mean? Did it like that.
Inch for inch, pound for pound, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
The resume, of course, you know, look, we all recognize how LeBron James put the Eastern Conference on lock to the point where other teams in the East, other great players were shook. They just knew they couldn't beat him. They were almost defeated before the series began. But Michael Jordan did that to the entire league. That's the difference. He didn't just do it to the East. He did it to the whole league. And finally, Michael Jordan never had that Dallas moment like LeBron. And I know LeBron's overcome it,
it never happened. It never happened where you melt down in that situation. And I always say whenever I argue with you know, the LeBron's people about stuff. The other thing, too, Chris, is just make the list of all the guys who didn't eat in the Michael Jordan era.
Right.
And look at the guys who ate during the LeBron era. It's just, those are facts.
No.
Everybody who didn't get stopped or didn't get a championship during the LeBron era.
No, Jordan kept Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon until he, Jordan retired.
Yes.
The first time. David Robinson. Shaquille O'Neal,
Reggie Miller, Payton,
Charles
Sean
Barkley.
Kemp. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Nope, they didn't win.
Stockton and Malone.
Yes.
Right. He kept them from getting a ring. And you're right. As great as LeBron has been, everybody's eaten.
Everybody.
And some more than him.
Yes, that's the part that's shocking.
Right. Durant is eating. Steph is eating. Duncan, an old Duncan, ate.
Dirk Nowitzki ate.
Yes.
Jason Kidd got his.
No, there's no. And even when Jordan got beat before he started winning his championships, he was giving them the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and LeBron's not the only one. Magic had the tragic Johnson series.
Yes.
Larry Bird scored 8 points twice in his first finals appearance. So it happens, but it didn't happen to Jordan. That's why he's the GOAT. When he lost, he was averaging 40-something. Larry Bird, the great Larry Bird. Larry Bird is arguably one of the top five players of all time. I got him in the top 10, so you could argue he's in the top five.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Here's what I'm fearing now, considering what we just saw last night, which I thought was disgraceful. I think it only gets worse, and when he passes Kobe, who's next on the list, I would be shocked, or I should say I wouldn't be surprised if they boo LeBron. Like they would take it out, especially if things don't go the way that they want them. Say that they don't get that second star and it's just okay and it doesn't look like they're going to be winning a championship or something. And I think that they would take it out on LeBron again, picking Kobe over LeBron and not giving him his due when he's ready to pass Kobe.
Well, first of all, if he stays healthy, he's going to pass Kobe.
Right.
He's about 1,300, a little under 1,300 points away. So he'll pass him some point, you know, maybe midway through next season or something like that. Look, I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility. That would be horrible. It would be ugly not only for Lakers fans, not only for LeBron, but for the entire NBA. It would be terrible. And I don't know see that happening. I can't imagine that happening.
They booed him twice already this year. The other game, they were chanting for
"We want Kobe."
We want Kobe. He shouldn't be dealing with that. Painted up and his murals twice, defaced him twice. There's just so much that has gone on. LeBron hasn't faced this before. Now he just hasn't.
Well,
this is different.
I don't think now would there be maybe a smattering of boos possible? Yeah, I guess. But I don't even foresee that. Bottom line, I think it's going to depend on this. Now, again, I don't see them just full-fledged booing him. But what I do see,
I think you would hear some boos because especially now if they were in the number one seed in the West and things are going.
I guess you can't do this. Maybe it's something that if things were going bad, because I think Rob is going to depend on this, how things are going.
Well, last night he got booed on that big night. He got booed when he missed those two free throws. Did you hear the boos?
No, that's a yeah.
No, they're willing to boo him is what I'm saying.
No, of course they're willing to boo him. I think it depends on how things go next season. If it's as bad as this year, then I guess nothing is out of the realm of possibility.
That's what I mean.
And to be honest, if something like that were to happen, if I'm the Lakers, let's say next season's going poorly. Let's say they don't get Anthony Davis and you're playing badly, maybe at the time that LeBron is going to pass Kobe, you're maybe in the ninth seed and just struggling. And, you know, it's similar to this year. If I were the Lakers in that situation, I would ignore it, him passing Kobe. Because it's not the record. I would just let the game play out. Now, the media is going to drum it up, make it a huge deal. But if I were the Lakers and things are that bad, I would just let the game just go on like a normal game.
Wow, you wouldn't do anything.
Because I wouldn't, and not out of disrespect for LeBron, but out of protection for LeBron. Because the last thing you want is for your home fans, the Laker fans, to boo LeBron James when he passes Kobe Bryant?
No,
you don't even want half cheers and half boos. So if you get the sense, and I'm throwing out a big hypothetical, if you get the sense that is going to be the case, then I think you just got to play. Because again, Rob, it's not the record. I mean, what are we going to do every time he passes somebody on the points list, the assist list? Are we going to, you know, make it a huge deal?
No.
The next thing for him to do is to get the number one, to get Kareem.
No, I get all of that, but I think, people are saying he's not a Laker yet. You know, that you've said that's the way
I said that's how their perception is.
The perception
of somehow. That's the only thing I can think of for last night, and I get it.
Yeah, I don't know as you go forward. When you talk about this year, though, Chris, I think you're right. Everything went bad. There was a lot of things. Remember the whole pizza thing when he was going to go to Blaze Pizza?
Yeah, that's how. That's it didn't another start because he didn't have a press conference.
Right. Remember, he didn't have a press conference for the fans. He put out that thing just like, hey, I haven't been to a pizza party. He didn't say he was going to go.
Enjoy your pie, man.
But it did come off as that he was going to be at this one closest to his house here in Brentwood.
I've been to that one.
That's
in Culver
you know where
City.
It is. Yep. Exactly. Yep. So that was the feeling. And then fans waited out. Remember how hot it was here? And fans waited all day, and he never showed up. So that was another thing. There's just been a couple things where he hasn't played right with the L.A. fans, and I don't know if he's misread them or just thought that he's LeBron and it doesn't matter. This isn't Cleveland. This just isn't – and I'm not saying that as if Cleveland
they're
doesn't
not
matter,
just happy
but you know
to
what
have
I mean.
Him.
Right?
Yeah. They're not just happy to have him. They've had superstars, plenty of superstars, on LeBron's level before.
Yes.
I mean, that's almost like a birthright for the Lakers.
And think about this in L.A. right now. You have a team that went to the Super Bowl in L.A. You got a baseball team that went to back-to-back World Series, right? That's what they – this
Chargers
is what they,
made the playoffs.
Chargers made the playoffs. They were good. They won 12 regular season games. You just start looking at all that stuff. People aren't trying to – and the Lakers are what? And the Clippers are going to the playoffs and the Lakers are what? No.
Right.
In this town.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if it's bad next year, I would just keep the game going. Keep the game going. Look, MJ, as great as Kobe is and was, MJ was different. First of all, he was LeBron's idol. Secondly, he's widely recognized as the GOAT. That is a different thing. But we can't, you know, when he passes Kobe, when he passes Karl Malone, you know, I just think that would be better than him getting booed. And hopefully he doesn't. Hopefully, look, he can make it, like, next year will be great for them. I mean, I think it'd be great for the NBA if Anthony Davis does join the Lakers. And if Kevin, I've said it before, if Kevin Durant leaves Golden State, because Golden State's still going to be a contender. You know, go and Durant goes either to the Clippers or I think even better, the Knicks. And now they're legit. Like, you've always complained about, hey, look, it's one team. We all know Golden State's going to win it. If these guys move around, especially going to big markets, flagship franchises, it's better for the NBA. Because then you might have six or seven teams that could legitimately get to the finals.
That's always better for a league when it just mixes up and it's just not as predictable. We all believe that Golden State will win. That's what we believe. And we would have to be proven wrong.